painted horses run wild across a black background. LD Entertainment. A retro neon sign lights up and flickers in red and blue. American High. Hulu presents a Hulu original. An LD Entertainment production. An American High film. A pair of small hands grip a cassette tape reading The Ultimate Playlist of Noise. Kian Johnson. A monitor displays a recording program. Madeline Brewer. A man holds a mic to his mouth.
Hi there. My name is Marcus Lund, and you are listening to The Ultimate Playlist of Noise. I hope you can hear me, because I definitely cannot.
Text appears 6 months earlier. A gray two-story home is surrounded by a trimmed green lawn under a sunny sky.
I've been sharing the past few months of my life with you, which I think can only be described as extraordinarily formative.
Marcus lies on a sofa wearing headphones over earbuds. A short-haired older woman removes his headphones. She pulls out his right bud.
I said you're going to miss the bus. This is absurd.
What? One's for music and one's for ambience. Look, what if you want to listen to Neil Young while roasting marshmallows in the Smoky Mountains?
What are the chances of listening to Cats in the Cradle while you give a valedictorian speech?
Well, I have a 2.8 GPA, so you do the math.
Oh, math? Ugh, no, thank you.
Yeah, now you see my problem.
He walks up to a large high school.
Look, I know what you're thinking. Is wearing two pairs of headphones overkill? Yes. Do I care? No. My town has won America's safest suburb 12 years in a row. The only notable landmark is the Chili's where Obama ate. I think he got mozzarella sticks. I don't know. There's a picture on the wall. The point is, sound is my escape into something bigger than myself. Some people play video games. Some watch movies. I listen to Sonic Youth while pretending I'm walking through a thunderstorm.
A bully shoves a kid against a locker.
Other than that, I'm just your average teenager. Acne, mood swings, weird elbows.
He turns a corner and approaches two girls, one with dark blonde hair and one a brunette.
You guys ready for Sharkitecture tomorrow?
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Hey, if I buy you pizza after, will you help me crowd surf?
You have that much faith in my open body strength?
No, but I am a risk taker.
She pats his chest.
Get ready.
Your coccyx bone.
In a locker room.
If you were to describe me to a police officer, you'd probably say something like that kid with the ugly ass scar on his back.
A group of boys ogle around scar on his lower back.
When I was a kid, our house caught fire. My older brother Alex rescued me.
Alex pulls a smoldering bead from young Marcus's back. He carries Marcus through a burning house.
He didn't survive.
Marcus regards a photo of them.
Everything I do for Alex. I wear his headphones, use his tape recorder.
He flips through some cassettes.
And listen to his music.
He selects Sylvie Scar.
All of his music. Especially Sylvie Scar.
Concert ticket stubs are pinned to a corkboard and music memorabilia is draped around the room.
It sort of made me the resident playlist doctor at my school.
He writes on a notepad. He sits with a long-haired boy at school.
It's tomorrow, right?
He hands out playlists.
All right. The ultimate playlist of third dates begins and ends with D'Angelo. Here's the ultimate playlist of suburban acid trips. So we have Animal Collective for the rise, Brian Eno for the fall, and Belle and Sebastian in case you hallucinate your face as lasagna again. The ultimate playlist of getting Mr. Denver's attention.
Conway Twitty?
An older woman inspects the list, then turns to ogle a man in a cowboy hat. Mr. Denver smirks and tips his hat to her.
So about that C-minus.
At home.
All right, I need a closer for the ultimate playlist of Facebook stalking your ex at 3 a.m. Any suggestions?
Pink Destroyer.
Yeah, it's a strong choice.
You making this playlist for yourself?
No, some kid who got dumped at homecoming.
I wondered why you were making a playlist for an ex when you've never had a girlfriend.
Dude. You just got roasted by your mom.
Shut up.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Thank you. Guys, are you almost ready?
Wait, hold on.
Dad, what are you looking for?
Dad waves a finger.
Ha-ha, got it.
All right. Me and Sylvie Scar at the pyramid 1979.
What?
Yeah, before she was big.
Nice, Mr. Lund.
Holy shit, Dad. Why didn't you tell me you used to be cool? Hey, we should get a picture with Sharkitecture after the show.
As long as you're home by 10.
Mom, the show ends at 10. What if there's an encore?
Then the encore had better be done by 10.
Do you not understand how an encore works?
It's a school night. You know the rules.
Look, Mrs. Lund, because we don't actually live in this house, we're going to stay out as late as we want.
That's fine.
The brunette turns to him.
Sorry, dude.
Sorry, dude.
Well, this is a police state. Just want to let you know that.
I love you, too.
Calling the ACLU.
Has your mom gotten a little bit...
No, it's fine. She definitely is a little bit more...
bitchy. Laura!
Overprotective, thank you. Look, I'm the same age as Alex was when he passed away, so I think she's just getting a little extra hands-on. Thanks.
Well, she means best.
Yeah, but her best can just be kind of annoying sometimes. But, you know, at least I have you guys.
Aw, you always will. Except for right now, because you won't drink. Sarah and I are going to go do shots in the ladies' room.
We'll meet you in the front, all right?
Alcoholics.
Sorry. Hey, go watch the opener.
They leave.
Who is the opener anyways? Middle school ska band? Why can't we just admit that no one cares about the opener and we should just skip to the...
Eyes wide, he gawks at something.
Main attraction.
Now, I don't know if I believe in love at first sight, but love at first sound? Yeah, I could believe that. But I can't
reach. A young redhead with blue eyes plays guitar and sings. I open my eyes, but I can't see. With the whole world stretched out before me, I told a lie, but I can't leave. You're the only one that knows me. His mouth stretches into a smile.
Hands by. I've come untied, if only, while I wonder where I'm...
The house lights go up. She eyes a stagehand gesturing to stop.
In a funny sort of way.
Guess that's all the time
what?
I have.
The sudden jump from beautiful music to disappointing silence was a great foreshadowing of events to come.
Let her play!
Because, spoiler alert...
The crowd dances.
Sometimes things aren't exactly as they seem. What seemed like a great opportunity to meet one of the best musicians I've ever heard.
The singer moves to a door.
It was actually a great opportunity to get elbowed in the face.
Marcus takes a wild elbow to his right eye. He presses a hand to it and wobbles in place.
And what seemed like an acid trip going horribly awry.
His eyes roll back and he collapses.
Was actually me having a seizure.
His body clenches as he writhes on the floor. People slowly start to take notice of him and gather around. He lies in a bed in a bright hospital with his mother at his side. His eyes start to flutter open. His dad sidles up to the bed.
Hey, buddy. Can you hear me? Where am I?
You're in the hospital, sweetheart. You had a seizure.
His gaze drifts up to the ceiling.
That look cool.
He's loaded into an MRI machine. A blue light bathes him as he waits patiently. Two hands hold up the test results showing his brain.
Are they cancerous?
No, typically these tumors are benign. Of course, that's not conclusive until we get a biopsy. And I am recommending surgery.
Brain surgery?
Yes.
This case is up at the doctor.
We have Dr. Higgins, who will be here at the end of the month, and we can wait till then to do this. We'll just give you some medications that will control any possible seizures.
Frowning, he stares downward.
Because of the location of this specific tumor, the whole auditory area is compromised, so there will be complications post-surgical.
My hearing?
Yes. The biggest one being you will lose your hearing.
His eyes dart about.
What about hearing aids?
Well, you'll no longer have the anatomy that would support a hearing aid.
His dad stares blankly ahead, and his mom looks down and gulps. With vacant eyes, Marcus darts his gaze. At home, Marcus writes on his notepad, the ultimate playlist of Maybe I Should Just Jump Off a Bridge. It consists entirely of one song, The Sound of Silence.
Things were pretty bad there for a while. Everything sounded sad.
A pair of window blind strings taps the frame.
Like it was saying goodbye.
Outside, a breeze sweeps through hanging branches of green leaves. Marcus sits in a busy park, listening with his eyes closed. He opens them and watches the people. A toddler tosses leaves with a woman. He showers with his eyes closed. He opens them and stares blankly ahead. He watches his dad butter toast. He sits with a sullen stare in class, then watches a teen wrap her nails on her desk. Later, a woman teaches sign language to a group of teens. While they sign the words colors and pink, he signs F, U, and C with a heavy stare. Now he stares off as his mom explains a pill schedule to him. His two friends stand behind him.
These, which are the little white ones. Are you listening?
Yeah, I got it.
Marcus, look at me. If you don't, you know you're going to have another seizure.
Mom.
She stares pointedly, then forces a smile.
All right. The last one you need to take every other day, so I figured Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Okay.
Cool. How many of those to kill myself?
She cranes her neck as he gets up to leave. Speechless, the girls look to her.
He was just kidding.
Laura nods, wide-eyed. Marcus browses the internet while Laura and Sarah play a video game.
Do you guys know who the opener was at the pyramid?
That opener sucked.
No, not this one. She was incredible. I wish I knew her name.
Was she hot?
It's not about that. It's about the music.
She was totally hot.
Sarah grins as Marcus peers back.
Hey, grab your coats. We're going in 10.
What? Where?
To a comedy improv show.
I don't want to go to a comedy show.
That'll be fun. Come on, girls.
Where is it?
It's at Westgate Cathedral.
Church improv?
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I sure hope these donuts is holy.
The trio sit with disinterest. Laura narrows her eyes.
Joseph. I said, coat of many. Jean shorts.
She nudges Sarah off her phone and they get up.
Next scene, folks, we need a suggestion from the audience. I need a gift for baby Jesus.
From the front row, his mom glances back as they leave.
Having a brain tumor is the perfect excuse to start drinking.
Definitely ask me again if my mom ever makes me go to another Friday night at church.
Sarah sips a flask.
I mean, she's trying.
Yeah, I get it. It's just, I don't want to laugh. I don't want to pretend to be happy. You know what I wanted to say? I wanted to say, Marcus, I'm so sorry. This really sucks. And if I were you, I'd probably kill myself.
I don't think your mom's gonna tell you to kill yourself.
He digs his phone out. The alarm screen reads meds.
Yeah, well, she's making me want to. Look, I don't want to be the dramatic sick kid, but I really love sound. Sounds so dumb to say, but I really love it. And I know I have my whole life ahead of me, but I just can't help but thinking about all the sounds I'm never gonna get to hear. Like the engine of my first car, or my kids laugh. And I know I'm lucky because I'm not dying and I don't have cancer. It's just my hearing. Obviously, I can live without my hearing. Just don't want to.
He pops a white pill. The blonde teacher steps out with Mr. Denver and they kiss passionately.
Holy shit, my playlist worked.
Miss Richardson! Get some. That's kind of cute.
You know what? I bet AP history teachers are the kinkiest teachers.
Oh,
but let's not stick around to find out.
Hey, at least you got to hear this before you went deaf.
Oh, yeah, Miss Richardson's a cowboy wet dream come true. Cross that one off your list.
They sneak away, but he suddenly pauses.
Okay, so yeah, I know it's dumb, and I wish I could say I came up with it myself. But if it weren't for my history teacher getting laid, the idea would have never come to me. The ultimate playlist of noise.
In class, he jots the title on his notepad.
The plan was simple. I would road trip across America, recording all my favorite sounds before my surgery. The big sounds, the small sounds, and everything in between.
He gets tagged out in dodgeball.
All I had to do was make a list. But it had to be perfect. Nothing boring. No B-sides.
He scribbles down a long list of sounds.
I wanted the greatest hits album. A life's worth of hearing crammed into just 1 month. It'd be like a going-away party for my ears, with all my favorite sounds invited.
He continues to write as he gets blood drawn. The list includes 80 miles per hour of freedom, tractor trailer horn, a lazy tide, and horse race photo finish. In his garage...
Ooh, what about a volcanic explosion?
How are we going to find a volcanic explosion?
How are you going to find 100 soda cans opening at the same time?
Sounds kind of cool, right?
Laura shoots him a look.
Yes!
He grabs a box labeled Alex's stuff.
Here it is. Alex's old mic.
He studies a black microphone. He plugs it into a bulky old tape recorder.
Testing, testing, 1, 2... Jesus, this is dusty.
The girls watch him with sympathetic eyes.
Testing, testing, 1, 2... Still works. Jesus, all right.
At risk of sounding completely insensitive, why are you recording this if you're going deaf?
Beethoven was deaf. He still composed music.
Laura softly sighs and the two look at him. He clocks their expressions and turns away.
You know, watching people listen to it will be the next best thing to hearing it again. All right, I got 49 entries. I need one more, and I've got an even 50.
Okay, my vote is still Volcanic Explosion or Kate Blanchett whispering, I love you. That might just be amazing.
I love it.
In an old sketchbook, he finds a postcard labeled Trolley Studios. A shaggy-haired man at a mixer picks up.
Hello.
Hi. Is this Trolley Studios?
Yep. If you want to book studio time, go to our website.
Oh, no, no, no. Actually, I was wondering if... someone I know ever recorded with you guys. Maybe a demo or something. Would have been a while ago.
How long ago are we talking?
Like 10 years ago?
Okay, who are you looking for? Alex Lund. He's my brother.
Alex? Alex Lund. You're his brother.
Yeah. You know him?
Dude, I was his drummer.
No way.
Yes way.
Alex was the all-time greatest, man. I miss the hell out of
that. You know what? We totally did record a demo here, but that would have been ages ago.
Boxes fall as he opens a storeroom door.
You in New York?
Yeah.
He looks at the blank 50th entry.
Yeah, I will be. I just have to talk to my mom first.
Talk to your mom about what?
She's behind him. He cocks his brow at her and gives a weak smirk. Wearing a tie, Marcus stands next to a map in front of his sitting parents in the living room.
Absolutely not.
What? Why?
Honey, you can't go on a road trip to New York.
I mean, was it the tie?
Yeah, the tie did take me out of it a little bit.
Dumb.
I'm just saying it's a loud tie.
Yeah, it is a loud tie.
What happened to the nice blue one I got you?
I spilled Nesquik on it.
Can't we have anything nice?
It's enough with the ties.
Okay.
Mom turns her attention back to Marcus.
Marcus, honey, you have seizure medication to figure out. You have ASL classes. You have to finish school.
No, I called. They said I can finish classes over the summer.
Why can't you just listen to all of the sounds on the internet?
And what? Use headphones? It's like wearing a condom.
Oh, buddy.
What is that supposed to mean?
Okay, I'm sorry, Mom.
He sits next to her and leans in close.
This is the last chance for me to hear what it sounds like to be alive. My last chance to hear Alex.
Her eyes shine and she gives a faint nod.
You have to know how much this means to me.
Sweetheart, I do. I understand.
She inhales deeply and turns her gaze away from him. She purses her lips, then gently licks them.
I'm sorry, it's not a good idea.
Jesus Christ, why do you have to be so difficult?
Hey, come on.
No, I mean it. I have 1 month left of my life as I know it, and you want me to spend it in a sign language
Marcus,
class?
Marcus, you have 1 month to prepare for the rest of your life.
I don't care about the rest of my life, Mom!
Both of his parents stare open-mouthed at him. He storms off. He paces in his room and wrenches his tie off. He sits on his bed and undoes the top button of his shirt. He looks toward the photo of his younger self with Alex holding his guitar. His parents gaze at the trip map Marcus made.
Number 17, fast-talking auctioneer. I got a minute. It's a pretty good list.
Mom bobs her head.
I'm gonna get talk to him.
Okay.
Marcus, sweetheart. Can we talk?
She looks around the room. Through the window, she sees her minivan pull away into the snowy streets. Marcus hits a button on the recorder.
Here we go.
All right, mic check.
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Marcus Lund, and you're listening to the ultimate playlist of... Holy shit!
He hits the singer, knocking her back.
Oh my God.
She pops up and gawks at him.
Oh my God. Are you okay?
Hitchhikers, yeah?
What? I'm so sorry, I didn't even see you. Oh, should I call an ambulance? Are you okay?
Go.
Oh my God, your
go.
Head.
Go.
She climbs in with her gear, a little bit of blood visible on her forehead.
You sure you're okay? I could drop you uptown or downtown or anywhere on the way. I feel so bad. I actually don't know what's on the way. I'm headed to New York. Also, are you hot? Because...
What did you say?
No, not like, are you hot?
No,
like,
you're going to New York?
Yeah. Is that okay?
She eyes him and licks her lips.
How long till we get there?
We?
Yeah, we. I'm coming.
To New York City. The city of New York. That's where you're going?
Yes.
There's no way you're also going to New York. I can barely believe I'm going.
Two people can both want to go to the same place.
No, not like this. This is weird.
This is not weird.
Yes, it is.
No, it's... God damn it.
A motorcycle follows.
Who's this guy?
Benji. My boyfriend.
Oh.
Oh, ex-boyfriend.
Oh.
He's gonna kill us.
Oh!
A red light.
What are you doing?
Benji dismounts.
It's a red light.
So?
There's cars coming. Jesus Christ!
Benji wails on the van with a baton.
Stop. Give me the guitar, you bitch!
I'm not letting you take her.
Where is it?
He searches through the broken rear windshield.
I told you! What would happen?
Not yours!
Wendy, give me the guitar.
Go, get us out of here!
Wendy, there's cars!
She squeezes his leg.
I've never felt that time slowing down sensation before. But when Wendy grabbed my knee, oh my God. A million thoughts were running through my head, like, should I flex my knee? Do girls think strong knees are hot? I probably should have been more concerned with the fact that, you know, she was trying to get me to voluntarily manslaughter her ex-boyfriend with a minivan, but still. Look at those eyes.
She screams at him as she fights off Benji.
I'd totally go to jail for those eyes.
Run!
Give me the goddamn guitar!
Benji hangs halfway out as Marcus floors it. She sprays him with something and he lets go. Eyes bulging, she turns to Marcus.
Hi. I'm Wendy.
They awkwardly shake hands, then face forward. Mom holds the phone to her ear. She places her hands on her hips and fidgets as Dad studies the map.
He's not answering. I'm going to go find him.
Whoa, wait a minute. Wait, hold on.
Do you have the keys?
Yes, but just hold on a second.
He is not going on this stupid road trip.
Stupid?
It's dangerous.
Okay, maybe, but it's not stupid. Like, dropping out of college to go backpacking across South America wasn't stupid.
They're completely different.
Yeah, we didn't even tell our parents we were going.
He cocks a brow and she relaxes.
Look, all I'm saying is 1 month from now, there's a Marcus who never found peace with losing his hearing. But there's also a Marcus who did. And I don't think you and I want to be the parents who decides which one he gets to be.
She searches his face for a moment, then averts her gaze and nods.
It's not safe.
I know. He's smart, like his mom, okay? He'll stay out of trouble. Don't worry.
She maintains a frown as he embraces her. Coffee pours at a diner.
So are we safe now?
Well, that was a terrible introduction.
She dabs her head wound with a napkin.
Well, we've actually met before. Kinda.
Wait, are you the kid I stabbed?
What? No.
Okay, good.
You stabbed a kid?
I accidentally stabbed him. I was like, we were moshing at Japan Droids, and I just kind of nicked him in the eye with a corn dog.
Jesus, no. I saw you play at the pyramid.
You saw me play?
Yeah. You're incredible. You have an amazing voice, and your song was, like, catchy, but also different.
People don't usually give a shit about openers.
Well, one day you'll be the headliner.
She grins. His phone displays his meds alarm. The clock reads midnight. He reaches for a bottle of pills.
Ooh. Are those fun pills?
He blinks and glances at her.
Oh, no, they're sad pills.
He pops some into his mouth as a waitress brings two plates to them. Later, she eyes his playlist.
100 soda cans opening at the same time. Easily my favorite.
Thanks.
Sorry. I can't imagine losing my hearing. I think I'd want to kill myself if I were you.
He smirks and gives her a sidelong glance.
So, is this why you're going to New York?
Yeah. What about you?
She chews a bite of food and looks at him. She clears the plates, mugs, and playlist away and sets the guitar case down. She unlocks several padlocks.
You got enough locks?
No.
What you are about to see is the single most important thing in my entire life. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
An electric guitar rests inside.
Holy shit.
This is Darling. She's a limited edition 1959 gold Fender Stratocaster. Wow, with your obscure guitar knowledge.
Obscure? Sylvie Scar destroyed one of these at her Berlin Wall protest. It's my shirt. Oh, wait, one second. I swear.
He lifts his dress shirt to reveal a Sylvie Scar t-shirt.
Oh, wow. It is your shirt.
He pulls his dress shirt back down.
Can I?
She scans the area, then looks at him and tilts her head.
Yeah.
I promise I'll be careful.
He gently lifts it from its case.
Hi, darling. She's gorgeous.
She is. She was there for me when no one else was.
He runs his fingers up the neck.
Wow. Slow down, St. Vincent.
I only know a few chords. My brother used to teach me, but we didn't really get that far.
He hands it off to her.
Thanks.
And she returns it to the case. They look to his phone.
Wow. The Sylvie shirt and ringtone? Nerd.
Yeah. I wish I could see her live.
He rejects the call from his mother.
Well,
Wendy absently eyes the counter.
I don't know. What if you could?
What?
That's why I'm going to New York. I sent her my demo and she wants to meet me.
What?
Diner stare.
Sorry. Wendy, this is insane. Wait, do you really think she's going to sign you?
Maybe. If I get there.
Her gaze shoots to the door. She takes the case as an older customer casually enters. She relaxes.
He wants to sell Darling. What a shitty boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend. Look, I know this is all like, happening really fast, and I know you have your playlist to finish and everything. I really have to get to New York. My life depends on it. And like, Marcus, what are the chances that we meet? Seriously, what are the chances? I mean, it's crazy, and I know crazy is supposed to be a bad thing, but like, what if, just for right now, crazy's a good thing? What if...
She grips his arm, and he looks down at it.
Crazy was supposed to happen.
She holds his gaze with a wide, beaming smile. He looks to the phone showing Mom calling, then back to Wendy.
My brain said, don't go with her. You have a mission that doesn't include being curb-stomped by a crazy motorcycle murder man.
Mom sits on the phone at home.
But then again, my brain did have a gigantic tumor in it.
Hey, it's Marcus. Leave me a message or text me like a normal person.
So how could I trust what it said anyway?
Dad brings them both tea.
Ready?
Wendy drives as Dawn approaches. Marcus hits record and puts his headphones on. He climbs up through the sunroof with a bright smile and the mic. Wind whips through his short dark hair and he chuckles to himself. Wendy briefly looks up, then returns her gaze to the road with a toothy smile. The speedometer inches toward 80. Smiling and holding the mic, Marcus takes in deep, full breaths. He lowers back inside. He checks the box marked 80 miles per hour of freedom.
Only 80?
He regards her with a smile.
All right.
He puts his headphones back on.
Take two!
He hangs out as the car speeds along a highway. A card on the map near Michigan reads 19, Wind Chime Extravaganza. 19's box is checked off as they take in a roadside wind chime display. He records in a restaurant. 31, Chinese Food Lunch Rush is checked off. The van rushes onward through a tunnel. Wendy watches him record two teams.
All right, you want to try doing it super fast? Nice.
16, Velcro buckling. 43, Pinball Wizardry. The pair run away after lighting fireworks in a parking lot.
Wendy made me happy. Really happy.
He ogles her.
I didn't stand a chance.
Fireworks burst in the sky. A basketball flies through a net. 17, fast-talking auctioneer. She puts a wet finger in his ear, forcing him to bid.
What? She was like one of those caution falling rock signs.
The item is a phallic sculpture.
Like, what am I going to do about falling rocks?
Rain hits the windshield.
How am I supposed to take caution against that? If it happens, it happens.
Wendy sleeps in the van.
And oh my God, did it happen?
He gazes at her from the driver's seat. They stand outside under an umbrella, 9 caught in a thunderstorm. Later, they sit on the van. 27, wolves howling at midnight. A series of images play as he records. 23, fresh popcorn popping. 7, horse race photo finish. 5, lazy tide. As he records the water, Wendy skips a rock over the sea. 30, skipping stones on a lake. She leaves and returns with a large rock.
Wendy was awesome. She was clever. She was funny.
She playfully flips him off.
She was beautiful. And most of all, she was...
Totally out of your league!
Says who?
Says me. I mean, look at those cheekbones, dude. She's like a hard 9.
You're what, a soft 6?
What? I'm at least like a 7, 8.
6.5.
Well, it's subjective, so...
Look, we just don't want you coming home with a broken heart, okay? Those are really hard to fix.
My heart is the least of my worries. It's my brain that's the issue.
Wait.
Laura gapes on his screen.
You really like her.
Wendy stands over by the van.
She's different.
Oh.
She pops off a bottle cap.
Different is what I need right now. All right. I gotta go. Don't worry about me, okay?
Please be safe.
Try and get laid.
Why?
He hangs up and walks several yards over to the van. She hands him the glass sculpture.
Oh, hey. Thank you for letting me use your ancient dildo.
No, I hate it. I'm definitely throwing it away.
No, you can't. It's like an artifact from the sexual revolution. It's history. Just use it as a paperweight.
It's way too big to be a paperweight.
Marcus, it's not that big.
He stares at it, squints, then tosses it in the back of the van. He joins Wendy at a fenced bowling alley nearby. Inside, the place is closed.
What do we have here?
Jesus.
Wow.
What the hell happened here?
I think somebody had a party.
With the lights on, old food and overturned chairs are seen.
Oh my gosh.
What are you?
She eyes an old hot dog.
This thing looks like it's from the Reagan administration.
Stay away from it.
No, let's leave it there. What are you doing?
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Okay.
She teases him with the stale hot dog.
Number 13 on my list is a perfect strike. If I kneel down by the pins, you think you can try to bowl one?
She swigs from her beer.
Yeah, I'm a great bowler.
He watches as her ball gutters.
You sure about that?
I'm warming up.
Warm up.
She bowls from between her legs. Gutter ball.
If you want, I can try to put the bumpers up.
Lick my ass.
Hey, why don't we just switch?
What? No, I can do it.
No, you can't.
Why? Because I'm a woman?
No, because you bowl like a five-year-old.
Okay, well, I bet you I can roll a strike before you can.
Oh, you bet.
No, I mean...
No, if you're so confident, let's bet. Come on.
Okay, fine. Whoever rolls a strike first is the winner, and the loser has to eat the Reagan dog.
She shoots him a wry grin.
Eat the Reagan dog. Yep, that's what I said.
The recorder sits alone at the end of the lane.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Get ready to lose.
He sends a blue ball down the lane. Three pins remain.
Damn.
Not bad.
Yeah. Go on, go roll another gutter.
She holds her red ball up.
Not the gutter, remember?
Right. Yeah. So the middle.
Well, ideally.
Okay.
Thirteen. Perfect strike.
That's what they call getting hustled.
He looks at her, defeated.
Here, you're gonna need this.
She tosses a mustard packet. Da-da-da-da. She presents the hard black hot dog to him with fresh mustard. He takes it with a frown.
Oh. Four more years.
God damn it.
The bun is green. Later in the bathroom.
Hey, Marcus. Let's go double or nothing on some taquitos.
I hate you.
They drive past a campground sign. They sit by a campfire.
Damn. Yeah. That was a good one.
20, back crack.
Do you ever just watch hours of YouTube videos of people cracking their back?
No.
She opens the van door.
Yeah, me neither.
He puts the equipment away and she grabs blankets.
What does that smell?
Marcus investigates the back seats.
Is that you?
She sniffs him.
Oh, you smell like a dead animal.
That's nice.
Let's go.
Hey, where are you going?
I don't know, to find a river or something? We need to clean you up.
Well, no, actually, it's more likely to drown in a river at night because
you are
can't...
so lame.
She trudges away.
Tell how fast the rapids are going. All right.
They trek deep into the woods.
Well, now I can add getting mauled by a bear to the list.
She gapes at something.
Jackpot.
A two-story country home sits under the night sky. A blue-green light shines from the pool house.
What are you doing?
Wendy peeks in.
Rich people, man, I don't pretend to understand them, but I will take advantage of them.
No. What about the river?
She bends low to the door lock.
Well, I thought rivers were dangerous.
Yeah, but this is illegal.
Well, Marcus, would you rather break the law or would you rather drown?
There's nothing in between.
The door slides open and they enter. She sets her bag down and tugs at her left shoe. He closes the door and nods.
Yeah, I'm a felon now, so that's cool.
He turns and ogles as she takes her shirt off, revealing a lacy bra. She whips her hair to find him staring.
Have you never seen a girl in her underwear before?
Yeah, like dozens.
Okay.
She lowers into the luminescent water. She submerges and wipes her hair back as he removes his shoes. She rummages through the bag at the pool's edge and pulls out a bottle.
No, we're not shampooing in someone else's pool. That's where I draw the line.
Oh, well, you better draw it then.
She squeezes some into her hand.
Am I being hustled again?
What? No. A pinky promise.
She wiggles a pinky at him. He relents with a smile and continues disrobing. He adjusts the edges of his boxers and steps to the pool.
Wait, what are you doing? Take your shirt off.
No, I swim with my shirt on.
Why? That's weird.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Just take it off.
I don't want to.
Don't be lame. Why?
Because I don't want to.
They both drop their gazes and she gestures in defeat.
Okay.
Shirt on, he jumps in. A light turns on. The two scramble out and gather their things. He follows her out and slips.
Come on, you idiot!
She pulls him up. Later, number 39, crackling campfire.
It was an indoor pool. It wasn't that cold.
No, it was basically an ice rink.
She reaches for another log.
Oh, dude, you really gashed yourself up on that fall.
No, it's fine.
No. You need to neosporin that before you turn into the fly.
Don't worry about it.
It's gonna get infected.
No, it won't.
Marcus, just let me fix it.
She takes a tube of ointment and gazes pleadingly at him. His hoodie has a small blood stain. Wendy pulls it back to reveal a small gash and notices his burn scar. He lies on his belly and gives her a sidelong look. She sits behind him and looks softly in his direction.
So this is gonna sting.
He winces as she dabs the fresh wound.
Almost done.
Thanks.
What are friends for?
Are we friends?
She smirks. The warm fire glows on their cheeks.
Are we not?
No, I'm not saying we're not. I was just checking. I'm glad we're friends.
I get it. It's hard for girls to be friends with you, isn't it?
What?
Well, I mean, for someone who's seen dozens of girls in their underwear. I'm sure it's like you just want to be friends with them, but they always want something more.
Yeah, for sure happens.
But not us. We're just friends, right?
He stares at her for a moment, then gives a tense nod.
So you're not a virgin?
No.
You've had sex before.
His gaze is focused on her as he nods gently.
So you know how to give a woman what she wants.
He gives another faint nod.
Good. And when are you going deaf before you hear Carl orgasm?
She slaps the bandage on.
Good night, friend.
And gets in the car.
Good night.
In the morning, Marcus jolts up from the leafy campground. The van beside him, he scans the area.
Chainsaw.
Marcus approaches two men cutting lumber.
Excuse me!
One of them gestures to his earmuffs.
Are you coming down another street?
Marcus nods and displays his mic.
Can I report? Yeah.
The man gives a thumbs up and sets back to his task. Marcus records a piece of the man's log as it falls. Later, he alters number 40 from a tree falling in the forest to a log. He hides behind a tree when he spots Wendy playing guitar by the van and sets up the recorder. He smiles and slinks behind the tree. Later, while driving, she stares blankly out the passenger window.
Can I ask you something personal?
You can try.
Your ex-boyfriend, Benji.
She gazes downward.
It just kind of seemed like a...
Like a piece of shit.
Yeah. And so... I don't know. I was just wondering...
Like, why I would date him in the first place?
Yeah.
He sneaks a quick glance over at her.
Sometimes you meet people who...
She shrugs.
Really, really make you care about what they think about you. Like, even if you hate them, for some reason, you still want them to like you. It's like their superpower.
It's a pretty shitty superpower.
You always thought I was dumb for wanting to be a rock star.
He sneaks another glance.
Well, it is dumb to want to be a rock star.
She whips her gaze toward him.
Because you already are one.
She rolls her eyes with a wide smile. He gapes.
Roller rink!
He whips a hard left into a parking lot. Inside, a disco ball hangs above a skating crowd. He records his rolling skates.
There's too many people, I can't get a clean take.
A girl cuts them off.
Watch it! Okay, skaters, time to grab yourself a partner and move things down. Because there's a couple skating, and nothing's gonna stop you
now. I love this song!
Me too.
He notices couples holding hands.
Hey, maybe we should,
A man plows between them.
Whoa, okay. Okay, you know what? That's it. Give me that thing.
She points to the recorder.
Why?
Just keep skating.
He watches her take it and skate away.
Where are you going?
Keep skating.
He surveys the area with a pout. Multicolored lights make his face glow. Looking back, he nearly skates into a couple.
Sorry.
They spread apart. He grumbles to himself and skates on. He looks up to see the sprinkler start spraying everyone. Panicked skaters scramble and stumble off the rink. Marcus follows but stops when he sees Wendy.
Wendy! I think there's a fire!
No, there's not! I pulled the alarm!
What? Why?
Fire.
He smiles big as she leads him back to the rink.
I'm so
glad I found lights shimmer and water rains down as they skate hand in hand. The wheels of their skates slog through the water. Marcus slips and she tries to pull him back up but falls next to him. They sit upright. He gazes at her contemplatively for a moment, then signs, "I'm falling for you."
Baby, we can make it if we're heart to heart.
She grins at him.
What does that mean?
Please, my ass is soaked.
She looks at him and repeats the series of hand signs back to him. He chuckles.
Did I get it?
Perfect.
The minivan turns right off a snowy road. It makes a left and pulls up beside a large red barn with three towering grain silos behind it. Marcus steps out, recorder in hand, followed by Wendy. Wendy eyes the playlist.
Do you have my mic?
Yeah.
Thanks.
So I'm gonna go check some voicemails.
You're not coming?
No offense, but cows sound kind of cool, I guess. Sounds like something you wrote when you were high.
Cows, okay, are underappreciated animals, and I happen to think they sound kind of cool, so...
Hey, man, don't let me stop you.
She hands off the list and steps away. Marcus eyes his phone. His mom is calling.
You gotta talk to her sometime.
I thought you had voicemails to check.
Wendy bops away as Marcus fiddles with his phone. He responds to a series of worried texts from her with, "Don't worry, I'm fine." Wendy checks her phone.
Message one. I swear to God, if you don't pick up your phone, I'm gonna come down there.
Message deleted. Next message.
I am so sorry, okay? You know how I get when I get angry.
Message deleted. Next message.
This is Paul from New York, confirming for tomorrow. Can't wait to see what you got.
Hey, girl. You got a move for me?
A rancher nods as Marcus kneels by a cow to record.
Just one moo.
He pets her.
That's all I need.
I wasted so many years pretending I liked your shitty, boring song. You know that's why I came up to you in the first place, right? I was like, damn, she's hot. Maybe if I tell her she got a nice voice, she'll take off her shirt and suck on my...
Message deleted.
Her gaze travels pensively around the ground.
I think we're running out of tape. You got one in there?
The cow chows on a pile of grain.
Sir, does she moo?
The man glares and folds his arms.
Is there one that moos more?
A text from his mom reads, "Your surgery has been scheduled. It's in 8 days. Please come home now." He stares at the message and removes his headphones. Wendy sits in the van as he approaches.
Hey.
Hey.
How'd the voicemails go?
Not great. How'd your moo go?
Not great.
He shivers in the cold as he stands next to the driver's window. She gapes at him as he walks around the van.
I think the next town's about 30 minutes away.
I need a drink. Do you want a drink?
Yeah. Yeah, we could get a drink.
His eyes wander.
You've drank before, right?
Yeah. I've been drunk a bunch of times.
She stares and nods.
Cool, dude.
But come to think of it, I'll probably just have a sip or two.
Whatever. Fine.
She shifts into reverse as he puts his seatbelt on. A steel bridge is reflected in rippling water at night. Marcus and Wendy sit under a light on the bridge.
You're like a hard 9, and I'm like a soft 6.5. And I know I'm supposed to play hard to get, but look at me, I'm so easy to get.
He struggles to reach a straw in his drink.
Okay. All right, I think you've had enough.
Hello.
Darling is cradled in her lap as she takes a glass jug away from him.
Why didn't you ask me about my scar?
I just figured you've answered enough questions about it.
Yeah. Usually that's the case, but right now I kind of want to talk about it.
She grins at him.
Okay.
He stares at her, his head wobbling slightly.
Can you ask me about my scar?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, what's up with that scar?
Oh, thanks for asking. I got it when I was a kid. My house burned down, and my big brother Alex died rescuing me.
Her smile fades and her eyes widen.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be.
I know it's no consolation, but, it's a pretty badass scar.
No, it's ugly. But... you know, I'd rather have an ugly reminder that love exists than no reminder at all.
He stares downcast. Her face softens to a warm smile.
You would have liked him. He also wanted to be a musician. And, yeah, he was awesome. But, you know, he had to give that up to save me. He gave up his dream to save me. And I look at you, and I see that you're still chasing your dream even after all the shit you've been through. And I don't know.
Her eyes glisten in the light.
I just hope that one day you look at me the same way I look at you.
Her gaze shifts to his mouth, and she darts in for a kiss. They lock eyes.
It's a silly thing to say.
He turns away with a goofy grin plastered to his face. His smile vanishes and he heaves.
Oh no,
I ruined it.
Vomit oozes down his shirt.
Yeah.
Daylight and shadows move across his face, plastered against the passenger window.
Marcus.
He turns to see her driving.
Where are we?
Welcome to your first hangover.
She hands him a sports drink.
Oh my God. My head. This is what hangovers are. I'm never drinking again. It hurts so much.
Well, this might make you feel better.
They pass a sign for New York City.
Oh my God, we made it. Oh, wait. I had a song cue for this.
He grabs his phone.
Bluetooth connection lost.
No.
No devices found.
Come on, sync.
Searching for connection.
Bluetooth, you're ruining the moment.
No devices found.
Connect.
Bluetooth connected.
Yeah!
They cross the George Washington Bridge and drive through the city. Marcus leans out of the passenger window and takes in the tall buildings and the sounds of the Big Apple. Change in a cup. A cop on his radio. A food vendor. The subway whizzes by. A street musician plays his trumpet. A cabbie curses a pedestrian. A metro card is swiped. They exit the 50th Street subway and head into Times Square, where they take in all the sights and sounds of the bustling area. In slow motion, Wendy crosses the street, guitar case in hand, and Marcus follows. She turns and smiles at him, and he grins enraptured. They approach a large red two-story house with white trim.
Technically, she's my grandmother's cousin, but I've always just called her my aunt.
Okay.
A short woman walks to the door.
Oh, by the way, she was kicked by a deer in the head when she was five, so just...
Hello, hi.
Hello, come in.
Hi, Aunt Lila.
Oh, it's cold out there. Oh, hi. Wendy, it's so good to see you. Oh, my gosh. Oh.
This is Marcus. This is the kid I told you about.
She puts on thick glasses.
Oh, are you the one that's going blind?
No, actually, I'm going deaf.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, my gosh, can you imagine going blind?
Yeah, no, it sounds awful.
Sounds? Deaf? I get it.
Right.
I get it. Here, follow me.
In a bedroom, Marcus tucks a white dress shirt into his brown pants. He looks at the tall mirror and flattens his hair. In another room, Wendy carefully polishes Darling. Marcus enters behind her and eyes a photo on the wall of a young kid.
You are a cute baby.
She whips her head back.
You scared me.
How stoked do you think kid Wendy would be to see you right now?
I don't think 3-year-old Wendy knew who Sylvie Scar was.
Yeah, but she'd see that your dreams were about to come true.
Since when do you drink tea?
Since your aunt insisted. It's actually not bad.
He squints and knits his brow at the cup in his hands.
Although I did just find a Lego minifigure in it.
Yeah, she does that to make sure the teabag doesn't get lonely.
All right, that's pretty cute.
He dips the teabag and figurine back into the cup and watches her.
You almost ready?
Yeah, I just need a minute.
Okay. Cool. Go hang out with your aunt.
Have fun.
Once he's gone, she turns to look at the guitar with a grave look. They walk out.
Okay, I think I'm this way.
I'm down there.
Okay, well.
She awkwardly breaks away from his gaze. He puts a hand on her shoulder.
Sing your heart out, Wendy Green. Sophie's gonna love you.
Her eyes flutter.
Thanks. I will.
She turns to leave.
Hey. You okay?
Yeah. I'm just nervous.
She continues onward. He looks to his phone, then toward her. His screen shows Mom is calling. He puts the phone in his pocket and walks in the opposite direction.
You have arrived at your destination.
He steps down an alley between two stone buildings. He enters the red building and then enters a yellow hallway with photos along the wall. He admires the photos and turns as the shaggy-haired man from the phone strolls into the hall.
Dennis?
The man stops and turns to him.
Marcus?
Hey.
Wait right there. Dewey, take this. Dude! Marcus Lund. He lives and breathes. Bring it in, brother. Oh, my God. Look at you. You work out?
PE.
Come on. I can't get over this. You look so much like your brother, it is blowing my mind. It's all in the eyes.
Thanks.
I'm gonna get that cassette tape. I'll be right back, all right?
Marcus gazes at Alex's photo on the wall.
There she is. Check it out. It's the only demo I could find. You know, we were mostly a punk band, but it's one of his more softer songs. We'd never play it live.
He hands Marcus a cassette marked Trolley Studios, Alex Lund, 2007. The tape is put into a player and the levels are adjusted.
This is Through the Smoke, take four.
Marcus listens intently.
I guess I wish I would have paid more attention to them, but I was young. I didn't think about it. I just thought they sounded cool.
What are you talking about?
He gazes up at Dennis with a knitted brow.
I mean, you know, the whole fire thing.
What about it?
You know, how he started it and everything.
Marcus blinks at him with a vacant gaze.
Okay, you know what? Maybe we should.
No. Alex didn't start the fire. He saved me from it.
Tears pool in his eyes. Dennis averts his gaze and nods.
That's the only reason I'm alive.
You know, maybe you should talk to your parents.
No. I'm talking to you right now. Let's talk.
He bolts to his feet and squares off against Dennis.
My brother was a hero. He saved my life.
Dennis stares blankly at him.
Look, man. I am really sorry, but that's not what happened.
Alex is bathed in yellow light as he coughs in the fire. His image is replaced by a firefighter lifting the smoldering beam off young Marcus.
Alex started the fire.
Alex looks around the burning area with an anxious look. The firefighter carries the limp Marcus through the chaos with another trailing behind him.
It was, you know...
Present Marcus fights back tears.
It was a suicide, man.
Alex runs back toward the flames. Marcus stares at the floor, his face sunken and pale.
The whole scene, we were devastated. We loved Alex.
Come on, man, I'm really sorry. I thought you knew.
Marcus darts from the studio and exits the building. He stands on the sidewalk and makes a call. At home, his mom looks over and grabs her phone.
Marcus.
Marcus, where are you?
Marcus, are you okay, sweetheart?
Are you okay?
Is it true about Alex?
Mom works her jaw and leans back.
Mom.
She holds her eyes shut. Marcus's face crumples and he hangs up. He hurries along the sidewalk. Mom stares with a creased brow at her phone. At Aunt Delilah's...
Wendy!
Oh, goody. You're just in time for dinner.
Is Wendy
We're
here?
We're having raisins and carrots.
Delilah, is Wendy here?
Well, she came back and then she grabbed all her stuff and then she called a taxi.
What? Where?
Penn Station.
Marcus runs across the street.
Hi, it's Wendy. Leave a message.
He runs down subway stairs. He searches around the bustling station. He continues scanning as he steps onto an escalator going up. He looks up and his eyes widen.
Wendy!
Marcus?
She's going down.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
Well, nothing. I mean, I was looking for you.
A man bumps her and she drops the empty case.
Wendy, where's Darling?
They step in opposite directions to stay level.
I sold her to a dealer.
What about Sophie? What about your meeting?
Yeah, I'll be right there.
She turns to someone.
I made it up.
No, you sent her your demo. She said she wanted to meet you.
Marcus, I made it up. Hey, hands off.
You lied to me? You lied to me for a ride?
What? No.
What the hell is wrong with
Marcus,
you?
Marcus, I was in an abusive relationship. I was making music that no one wanted to hear. Darling is my ticket out to a normal life. Like, some people, they don't achieve their dreams. Some
Stop.
People just have to live normal lives, and that's okay.
Okay, well, I'm glad I let you live your dream before you gave it up.
Marcus, that's not fair. Marcus!
He stops stepping and rides up.
Marcus!
He disappears over the crest. She looks frantically back and stops, then descends quickly.
Yeah, I'm coming. Back off.
A few people step away from the case as she bends to pick it up. Marcus steps through doorways until he reaches the street. His alarm shows meds.
Nothing you say.
Wendy exits the station and scans around the street.
Marcus?
She chooses a direction and hurries along. A disheveled man exits a liquor store where Marcus waits and hands him a small bag. The man raises his bottle and cheers to Marcus, then walks away. Marcus nods to him, then takes a swig from the bag. Wendy walks up to Dennis as he exits the studio.
Hey.
Sorry, we're closed. Come back tomorrow.
Did Marcus come back here?
He regards her for a moment.
No, he did not. Why? Hey, wait.
She stops.
If you see him, can you give this to him for me?
He hands her the tape.
I mean, I doubt he'll even want it, but just in case.
Why wouldn't he want this?
Oh, boy. I really have to do this twice today.
Marcus wobbles as he relieves himself in an alley. He buckles up and stumbles toward the street.
Is it really this fun when you're on my mind?
He backs up and leans into a wall.
Is it really this cool to be in your life?
The lid of his pill bottle slips from his hand, and he empties a handful of white pills into his palm.
There's one thing I'll do.
He stares at them.
If it ever goes wrong.
He continues toward the street, letting the pills rain from his hand as he walks.
Into all of my songs.
The little white pills lie strewn about on the damp brick walkway. Wendy enters the house and Delilah tells her something. Wendy sets her things down and rushes back out. Marcus walks the streets.
He was obsessed and it was okay.
He stops in the middle of a crossing and convulses before falling backward.
'Cause we're going downtown.
He writhes as people pass by.
And we feel like running around.
His hands are cramped up and he kicks his legs out. His eyes roll back into his head.
Is it really this fun when you're?
A couple of people stop and drag him back, leaving the recorder behind.
Is it really this cool to be in your life?
Wendy finds the trail of pills and looks down the alley.
I'm going crazy.
Marcus is treated by EMTs.
Crazy for you.
Sir, do you know where you are?
I'm going crazy.
A truck smashes the recorder.
Crazy.
Marcus watches helplessly, then leans his head on the gurney.
I'm going crazy.
A tear forms in his eye as he's loaded into an ambulance. His parents sit in bed, his mom on the phone.
I'm going crazy.
She lowers it and breaks into tears as his dad comforts her.
For you.
Wendy approaches the shattered remains of the tape recorder. She scoops them up and regards them with a knitted brow. She searches to her left, then to her right. Marcus lies in a darkened hospital bed, staring at the ceiling. He slowly turns on his side. Daylight pours over him as he sits. He looks back as his mom enters the hospital room. She eyes him with a soft gaze and he turns away devoid of emotion. She scans the room and approaches him. She sits beside him on the bed. He doesn't react. She sighs, then turns her head away. She rubs his shoulder with one hand, then turns back to him. He remains stiff as she kisses his head. He doesn't acknowledge her as he gets up and heads to the bathroom. She arches her neck toward the window, her eyes glistening.
Alex was diagnosed with bipolar 1 when he was 13.
Mother and son sit in the hospital cafeteria.
He struggled with anxiety and depression and psychosis.
Marcus stares at the table.
He took medication and normally he was the Alex you remember.
She gathers herself.
But sometimes he would have episodes.
She pulls her lips in, then licks them.
And he wouldn't be Alex anymore.
Marcus continues staring zombie-like at the table. He blinks repeatedly.
Why didn't you tell me?
His gaze jerks up to her. She breaks eye contact with him, glancing toward the table.
You were young.
He stares with a cold gaze.
Somehow after the fire, when you woke up, you were convinced that Alex had saved you. I couldn't take that away from you.
His cold gaze remains unbroken. Her brows knitted, she looks away.
To be really honest, it was easier to let you believe that.
He set fire to the house with me in it. And you let me believe this whole time that he was some big hero?
Alex did not set fire to that house. His sickness did. Marcus.
How do you live with yourself? Lying to your son like that?
She's taken slightly aback, but holds a stoic gaze. Her gaze falters, her mouth forms a frown, and her head starts to bob.
You can hate me right now. It's okay. It's okay. Just don't hate Alex. Because he was a good kid. And he fought his demons every day, and he was as much of a victim as you are.
I guess I didn't really know who he was.
Yes, you did. Marcus, look at me. The Alex you knew was real. And he loved you so much.
Bullshit.
Marcus.
Don't Marcus me!
He sends a cup flying.
I drove across the country to hear his voice. Only to realize that everything I thought I knew, everything I based my life on, was a lie because you didn't have the courage to tell me the truth.
I was trying to protect you.
Yeah, well, you're not really good at protecting your fucking kids, are you?
Her face scrunched tight. She gazes at the table, then breaks down, rubbing a hand over her face.
I'm so sorry.
He slams the table and storms off, leaving her sobbing. In a bathroom, Marcus splashes his face with water. He gazes hard at his reflection in the mirror. He shakes his hands out, then heads to the paper towel dispenser. He tries unsuccessfully to get a paper towel. He punches it. It falls shattered to the ground. Marcus and Mom drive over a bridge. Marcus checks his phone. Wendy is calling. He ignores it and puts the phone away.
Hey, it's Marcus. Leave me a message or text me like a normal person.
In a dining room, Wendy peers at her phone and inhales deeply. The minivan pulls into a snow-covered cul-de-sac. Marcus walks to his gray house where Dad, Laura, and Sarah meet him. He marches straight past them and Laura attempts to rub his shoulder as he darts into the house. Wendy sits cross-legged on a bed and tries to pry open the recorder with a screwdriver. Failing, she plops the screwdriver down and leans back. In class, Marcus sees the photo of him with Alex in his binder sleeve and flips it over. He stares ahead, emotionless. Wendy exits a subway station and turns. She stops when she notices a young woman playing a guitar and singing on the street. After a moment, she tosses down a $20 bill. Marcus focuses on his phone in the kitchen as his mom throws a paper towel into the nearby trash. She finds the sculpture inside and holds it up to Marcus with a grin. He gets up, grabs it, and throws it back into the trash. Her grin drops as he marches out of the kitchen. Wendy paces in a studio. Dennis enters with the recorder and they chat. She takes the repaired device with a beaming smile and hugs him. At his locker, Marcus hands a big box of playlist notepads to Laura and Sarah. The girls look from Marcus to each other with furrowed brows. In sign class, Marcus holds a distant gaze. The other students sign sad, holding their spread fingers palm side to their chests. They make the sign for confused, and Marcus joins in. They all sign afraid while focusing to the front of the room. In a room, Wendy sits at a table and plugs in the recorder. She steals herself. She puts the headphones on and presses a button on the battered device. She clenches her jaw and gives the recorder a once-over inspection. A smile grows. Her smile falters a bit and her brow twitches. Hiding behind a tree, Marcus records her as she sits on a bench.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are very lucky to be listening to the very first recording of the world's next overnight sensation. I'm happy to have met you, Wendy.
She listens at home.
Don't forget me when you're all famous, all right?
She snickers. In the woods, she tucks a length of hair behind her ear. At home, she swallows hard, holding the headphones to her ears. She takes them off and gently sets them down. She inhales deeply, her mouth agape, and rests her head on her clasped hands. She walks up to a storefront in the daylight and gazes inside where Darling hangs by the window.
Please. Selling it was a huge mistake.
Sorry. All sales are final.
Come on, man. You have no idea how much that guitar means to me.
Buy it back.
It's twice what I sold it for.
Sorry, sweetheart. A deal's a deal.
I don't have that kind of money.
Look, what are you, deaf?
She gapes wide-eyed at the clerk who goes about his business wiping his counter. Glowering, she takes the recorder and leaves. She exits the shop, Paul's guitars, and crosses the street. Reaching the other side, she pauses. Marcus trudges up the snowy walkway to find a package at his doorstep. He sits on the couch and opens it. He lifts back a flap of the box and freezes, staring at the contents. He lifts another flap, revealing a gold bow affixed to the recorder and headphones. He pulls the recorder out of the box and examines it. He lifts the headphones with the hint of a smile on his face. He tosses the box aside and sets the device down. An attached note reads, Number 51, Wendy. He places the headphones over his ears and presses play.
Hey, it's me.
Wendy records in a studio.
I know you're probably still mad at me, and I don't blame you.
I really put you through the ringer. I found out about your brother, Marcus. I'm so sorry, dude.
I can't imagine how much that hurts.
But, don't let this change him for you.
I feel like we grow up and people are always saying that no matter what, everything will work out in the end. I don't know.
But like, isn't it way more complicated than that?
I can't tell you how to live with your memories of Alex, but...
He glances over at a photo of him and Alex.
Marcus, I hope you find a way. I hope you can learn to love him for who he really was.
His jaw clenches.
And not who you imagined him to be. Though you do imagine people to be pretty great.
He smirks. Wendy holds the mic to Darling.
I got Darling back. It took a little, convincing.
Outside the shop, she grins, presses record, and heads back.
I'm taking my guitar.
I told you.
Listen, I don't think you know who you're dealing with, buddy.
Jesus Christ.
I'm taking my guitar back, and if you're smart, you won't get in my way.
Marcus chuckles.
I'm a woman on a mission.
You're crazy.
Spit your ass up, crazy dude.
I'm gonna call a cop.
Go ahead. Here is your money. Dude, don't call me sweetheart.
Yeah, not my proudest moment.
But Darling is back home where she belongs, and she wouldn't be if it weren't for you.
His face softens. Dennis sidles up next to her.
Anyway, enough of the sappy shit. I have a surprise for you.
Ready?
Yeah.
He hits play on a laptop.
All right.
100 soda cans.
Okay, so it's not perfect, but
in like some dumb kind of way, it's... Maybe that's the point. You know, that,
reality never really matches your expectations.
His lips curl into a tight smile. Wendy pauses with the mic to her lips.
I just want you to be happy, Marcus.
I just want you to be happy.
His gaze shifts downward.
You good?
Yeah, I think so.
She turns her gaze away from Dennis and gazes down reflectively. Marcus stops the tape. He moves to take the recorder away, then pauses as he sees something in the box. He reaches in and pulls it out, keeping his eyes glued to it. It's Alex's tape from 2007. He breaks his trance-like stare and pops it into the recorder. He puts the headphones on and hovers a finger over the play button. He pulls it away and removes the headphones. He puts the cassette back in its case. The moon glows behind a tangle of tree branches. Mom views her phone alert. Marcus' surgery today at 10 a.m. She looks up from her bed and takes a deep breath. She looks over to Dad, who sleeps with an open book on his chest. She looks away from him and leans forward to rest her chin in her palm. Marcus sits in bed in his darkened bedroom, staring out the window. He is lit by lines of moonlight from the blinds. He lies back on the pillow and takes a clear tape off the recorder, scrutinizes it, then pops it into the player. He takes the headphones and works them around hesitantly in his hands. He slowly puts them over his ears. He places a finger on the play button. He listens with a pensive gaze, fade to black. Marcus lies asleep in bed in the morning. He wakes to find his mom listening to the recorder nearby. She stares toward the window with her fingers resting on her lips. Marcus pulls himself upright and she turns to him and removes the headphones. She looks down at the recorder. They hold each other's gazes.
The wind chimes were beautiful.
He gives a faint nod. She gazes down toward the recorder once more. Marcus showers, a vacant expression on his face as the water hits his back. Dad spreads butter on toast as Marcus holds the same gaze. Dad looks up awkwardly at him. Marcus drinks from a blue cup. He follows his mom outside, followed by Dad. Dad goes to lock the door.
Hey, Dad. Can I lock it?
Yeah.
He hands Marcus the key. Grimacing, Marcus stands at the lock. He stares out a window in the back seat. He glances over and sees his parents tightly gripping each other's hands as they drive down a white winter road. He shifts his gaze back to the window. He wears a gown at the hospital as a nurse shaves his head. Mom stands next to him.
You okay? Okay. Is that enough?
The nurse pulls away. A plunger is pressed on a syringe.
That's gonna hit you in a little bit. You got this.
The waiting room is right over here.
Can we stay with him for a little longer?
Just gonna set you back a bit, okay?
Marcus is leaned back on the gurney. He stares stoically at the ceiling as he's wheeled out with doctors, nurses, and his parents surrounding him.
I'll be right here, waiting for you. All right? It's gonna be okay. You're gonna be great.
His stoic demeanor starts to crumble as he's wheeled away from his parents. Mom runs to him.
Wait, Marcus, hang on.
Wait, Mom.
I know, it's okay.
He sobs in his parents' embrace.
I can't do it. Please, just one more day.
It's okay.
His mom pulls back and their foreheads touch. His dad softly nods and tears up.
All right, baby.
She kisses Marcus's head.
It's gonna be okay. Oh, sweetheart. He loved you. He loved you so much.
You.
She pulls him into a hug. She positions her mouth to his right ear.
Listen to me. I love you more than anything in the world.
She places a kiss on the side of his head. He leans back on the gurney as both parents cradle his head. As he's rolled away, Mom presses a hand tightly to her mouth and weeps. Dad comforts her. The operating room doors open where a team of doctors and nurses prepare. Alex's tape is placed into the recorder and the play button is pushed. Marcus lies back on the operating table. The world around him becomes a blurry wave. He closes his eyes. Marcus lies in a bed with a bandage wrapped around his temple. He slowly comes to. He spies a weatherman on the TV during his forecast for Michigan. He turns to see the EKG monitor displaying his vitals. He gingerly touches the bandage near his ear. His parents walk in. He mouths the words "Mom" and breaks into a sob. She rushes to his side, followed by Dad and the family embrace. The embrace breaks and his mom signs, "Your father and I, we love you." Dad holds up the sign for "I love you" behind her. She mouths the words and puts a hand forming the "I love you" sign to his chest. They embrace once more and he squeezes his eyes tight. Later, various gifts adorn his hospital room, several arrangements of flowers, a teddy bear, a Get Well Soon card showing the message and sign, and balloons with hopeful messages. Marcus lies in bed eating. Mom reads a book nearby as Dad sits next to him and yells at the TV. Marcus laughs. Laura knocks on the threshold with Sarah in tow. Marcus gleefully waves them over, and the trio share a warm hug. The girls bounce to the front of the room, and Sarah scoots a table closer and places an MP3 player on top. Marcus beams as Laura unfolds a large green sign with white writing. "Prepare for the most one-sided conversation of your life." She gives him a cheeky look, and he coolly nods to her. She removes the green sign to reveal a blue one underneath that reads, "Are you feeling okay?" She looks at him and shrugs. He nods back with a shrug. The next sign reads, "Hearing is overrated." To prove our point, we will now listen to... They pause dramatically and reveal the next sign, the ultimate playlist of horrible sounds. Marcus laughs and his parents sign, "Yay." A new sign reads, "Track 1, goat sex." He looks to his parents cringing and laughs. Track 2, real bad diarrhea. Sarah hits play and laughs. Mom's jaw hangs wide open and Dad laughs with a cringe. A nurse walks in with a wide-eyed expression, and the family waves reassuringly at him and he leaves. Everyone laughs. Track 3, 1,000 babies crying. In parenthesis is, "We had to edit this together." His parents and the girls recoil at the sound. Mom plugs her ears. The next sign reads, "So if you think about it, you aren't missing much." Marcus offers a gentle smile. The next sign reads, "But, as a final surprise..." Laura bounces with glee. She puts the sign down and the pair synchronize signing, "We are learning sign language." Marcus chuckles and claps. He responds by signing, "Good job." Sarah signs, "Thanks," followed by "Hard." Mom signs, "Keep practicing, you'll get better." Laura nods and signs, "Potato," while mouthing "Hard." Mom explodes into laughter and Marcus chuckles. Sarah signs, "What did she say?" And Laura repeats, "Potato."
"If you asked me a few months ago what life would be like without my hearing..."
The faucet turns on as he showers at home.
"I wouldn't have been able to answer because I was too afraid of losing such a huge part of me."
The strings of the blinds dangle.
"But now, I see that life without sound is still beautiful."
Dad butters toast. Mom kisses Marcus at the table.
"It's just a different kind of beautiful."
She signs, "Good morning," and he smiles.
"One that I just met. That I'm excited to get to know."
He watches Dad zip up the back of her dress.
"Just because I can't hear anymore doesn't mean I experience my life any less than I used to."
He walks through the school halls and sits in a park.
"Of course I miss sounds."
He stares at a jogger's shoes hitting the pavement and a man on a bike passing by.
"Saying goodbye to something you love is hard."
Little girls play with hula hoops.
"But sometimes if I really focus..."
His friends lie next to him reading a book.
"I can still kind of hear it."
Young Marcus sits with Alex.
"I'll play this, and then you play at the same time as me."
At the park, Marcus grins to himself and checks number 50, Alex's song from the list. Alex beams at young Marcus.
"All things considered, I say that my life is pretty great. I still have my friends, my family, and the adventure that will always remind me of Wendy and of Alex. And that's a life worth living, with or without hearing."
He records from a laptop.
"So now, without further ado, please enjoy the ultimate playlist of noise."
He sets the mic down and finalizes the list on his software. Sunlight spreads over the lush green yards and trees in his neighborhood. Briefcase in hand, Dad climbs into his car and sets his phone to the playlist. He taps the first track after the foreword, 80 Miles of Freedom, and intently listens with a goofy grin. At school, the girls share a set of earbuds and laugh as they listen. The teachers he helped set up listen together with radiant smiles. His doctor listens on her earbuds as she works. She pauses for a moment and smiles. Several students at the school all listen to the mix. Delilah listens with unicorn headphones on as she paints a pine cone gold. She laughs, losing focus on her task. In a studio, Wendy sits before a mic.
"Okay, and then we'll loop that back into the chorus."
"No problem, Wendy."
"Okay."
She gazes at a text from Marcus reading website, the ultimate playlist of noise, with a Spotify link.
Hey, can I take five?
Dennis gives her a thumbs up from the booth. She walks along the roof. Listening, she sets a coffee on the roof's edge as the sun sets.
All right. Let's do this. This is Through the Smoke, take four. Take four.
She looks at her phone displaying the track name Alex's song. Smiling, she puts it back into her coat pocket. In the sky above, a title appears in yellow, The Ultimate Playlist of Noise. Credits roll over black. Copyright 2020, TUPON LLC, all rights reserved. TUPON LLC is the author and creator of this motion picture for the purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto and for the purposes of copyright law in the United Kingdom. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Distributed by Hulu LLC. Audio description by Point360 and voiced by Tansy Alexander. If you or someone you know is struggling with depression and or suicidal thoughts, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Learn how to help someone in crisis at bethe12.com. Logos, LD Entertainment, American High. Letters come together outside in the moonlight. Hulu Originals.